I am happy to invite Amanda to come forward. We're always so happy for brave yeses, so thanks, Amanda, for being brave. Amanda is speaking to us this morning from her role of engaging with the Single Moms Program at Hidden Acres Camp over the summer. I've had the great privilege of speaking to this group for a number of years, and there's always so much learning from the other in those weeks, and there is so much evidence of the presence of God's love. So we as a congregation can be praying for Amanda as she continues to invest deeply and richly into the lives of these women and children, and we just want to thank you for speaking, and I'll pray for you. God, thank you for Amanda. Thank you for her heart for the single moms. God, thank you that you have already chosen those moms who will come to the warm welcome of your love and the warm embrace of Hidden Acres this summer. And already, God, we pray that you would be preparing their hearts and their minds and their full beings for the time that they will be there, for the words of God that will be spoken over them and to them. I pray, God, that you would be with Amanda. Give her encouragement and hope. We thank you for the many signs that you just give to her as she prepares. Thank you for her bold yes and saying yes to speaking this morning to us. May our hearts and our eyes be open to your words and to your presence. Amen.
Is this on? Everyone can hear me? Hi, church. I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful that you can welcome me into our community. I often go to other churches and speak, and I said to someone this morning that I'd rather speak in front of 70,000 people I don't know than 70 people I do. I don't know why. I have no idea. But here we are. Just for those who aren't too familiar with me, my name's Amanda, and I coordinate 2 weeks of camp for low-income single moms and their kids. My husband is the executive director, Chris, at Hidden Acres. We have Hannah, who is 16, and Ben, who is 14, and we live on site. And this is our 16th year, heading into our 16th year at Hidden Acres, and we still like it, so that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'm here this morning wearing my single mom's camp coordinator hat, and what I will be sharing is based on my experience within this role. I'm by no means a pastor, and speaking in front of others requires much deep breathing. So as I share this morning all my thoughts, observations, learnings, and wonderings, they come from the privilege of serving these single moms and their children, and the impact of welcoming safe spaces that allow for physical, mental, and spiritual rest. Each summer, I help coordinate 2 separate weeks of camp for low-income single moms and their kids. We define a single mom as being someone without any live-in partner or support. We charge each family $40 for mom, $40 for child, and $20 for any additional children. However, the program costs approximately, we crunched numbers recently this week, around $2,000 per family per week, which means it's obviously highly subsidized by donations from individuals and churches. We have many community grants we apply to, and the use of our own Hidden Acres Camper Subsidy Fund, because we believe at camp that everybody deserves a week at camp, regardless of what they can afford. Every year we're amazed. It's fine. We come out at the end of the summer and either break even or just under, and we walk away grateful. Grateful for how we feel seen and recognized and acknowledged by God and by others. We see the deep value in offering an affordable experience for these families and believe that by giving them this opportunity, it increases their esteem and dignity, knowing they're able to provide this for themselves and their kids. It's always a reminder to me as to how privileged I really am. I don't need to make a payment plan for $80 to send my family on a vacation. This program grounds me. I'm a woman who has not endured significant trauma, has safe shelter, income, and supportive family and community. Yet I have the opportunity to create a week that strives to remove those lines in judgment. This allows women and children to be part of a healthy community where there is a mutual encouragement and the reminder that their lives are indeed valuable. Single Moms Camp has been running for 45 years and has remained consistent. Every year, applications come flying in, and every year, families continue to show up, and every year, lives continue to change. What a gift that is to say. To hear a mom say, "I haven't laughed in years," to hear kids squealing with joy at the most outrageous, silly campfire skit, to hold a woman that says she hasn't felt a hug in years. These are only just a few moments that stand out to me as I reflect on this past summer. As hard as these weeks are, and they are very hard, I often walk away simply saying, just thank you to God. As I prayed through last winter over the program, an image of a table kept coming to mind. A beautiful table, a banquet table that I could set for them in our Oak Room, which is where we meet every day for Mom's Focus. The more I thought of it and prayed about it, the more I loved the idea to use that theme for the year last year. Come to the table. A beautiful invitation to these families when oftentimes in their lives they feel like there is no seat for them. I like to think of a big banquet table as a place where all our needs can be met. Things like rest, welcome, safety, community, food, drink. For a moment in time, we are able to set aside what feels hard, overwhelming, and exhausting, and simply be together while needs are being met. As I prayed into the summer, my heart's desire was that Hidden Acres table would be one of welcome, rest, nourishment, laughter, safety, hope, and learning. Our brains and our beings are not meant to carry everything they do, especially in a world where every piece of information is at our fingertips, information that comes in at a very fast rate. My hope for them was that they may understand the importance of community and walking alongside each other, or sitting, I should say, at the table together. I believe God, whether they believe it or not, created us for relationships and to not journey alone, and that the table, literally and figuratively, would be a symbol of togetherness and hope. Psalm 23, which was read already, is a beautiful use of words. David reminds us that God is a constant, personal source of comfort, guidance, provision, and protection, acting as both a kind shepherd and a gracious host who cares for his people, not just when things are going well, but through seasons of all different types. Today I want to focus, though, on verse 5, which specifically says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows." The first part of this verse is a bit jarring, yes, when David talks about in the presence of my enemies. But the way I see it for myself is that God always has a place setting and a chair set up for me when my enemies may show themselves. Enemies like comparison or self-doubt, when I tell myself I should not be in this role because there is someone way more qualified for these families. For these moms, from what I have seen over the years, some of their enemies would be low self-worth, lack of desire to live, exhaustion, severe mental health diagnoses, self-criticism, loss of hope, and feeling unlovable, despair. The list can go on. By us setting a table and inviting them to pull up a chair, exactly who they are able to bring it all. Even the parts of them they don't like or want, and also the parts of them that they've forgotten about, which does happen. Creating safe spaces for others, especially those who carry deep trauma, which would be many of these families, allows the brain to settle into a place where they may see hope, or at least just a glimmer of it, even for a moment. Where this starts is creating a sense of safety within the space we are in. Without that, from what I have experienced, true, authentic camaraderie around the table does not happen until trust and safety show themselves, which is up to us in all of our spaces. I see this as a mirroring of what Jesus does for us on a daily basis. When the scripture says that God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, I am reminded that God understands that enemies or the hard will always be present, yet so will God. All that we need is set before us, and will always be there when we need it. Some biblical scholars, I love this, they talk about God continuing to set tables before us, even in the wilderness, when we feel lost or wandering, which again shows the character of God as one who never leaves and is always prepared for us if we choose to receive it back. David then goes on to say that God anoints our heads with oil, which reminds me of our belovedness and their belovedness, and that our cups can overflow with provision. What a beautiful picture of a table. Does this mean now that every time we ask God for something, he will provide in ways that we desire and hope? In my experience, no. This is the mystery of God to me, and this is the mystery of God to these women. And we talk about that quite often. And that is partly the reason why I do what I do with these families. Myself and the staff team, by how we love and serve them, gives them the opportunity to know that God is real when God can be felt, when God can't be felt or seen for them. How we love them is who God is. They see this. And that, to me, is the gospel. At the end of our second week, a mom hugged me and said goodbye. She said, you know, this is a mom who was, you know, professing, oh, God's not real, God's not real. So at the end of the week, she says, you know, God must be real. And I said to her, oh, I was kind of like, ooh, internally like, oh, this is great. And I said, well, can I just ask you, I'm curious as to why you say that. Lost my spot. Oh, yeah. And then she says, because all of these people just love us so well. And I think, oh, that's it. They love us so well. This winter, I was listening to a reflection by Emily P. Freeman, who spoke of the importance of two kinds of hope, participatory and anticipatory. Oh, and how participatory hope, the kind that you can tangibly give to people by filling a need, often is what can move them and us into the hope that feels real. Her encouragement was that when we don't have any hope to step into, participatory hope, how we look, how we serve, how we actively engage with people, is what she encourages us to do. This past summer was again a reminder of how participatory hope, being the hands and feet of Christ, can make anticipatory hope possible, sometimes for the first time. God is a presence amongst, not a magician that can do what we want whenever we want, but a presence, a beautiful presence. And I believe God uses the metaphor of a table where hope is present to remind us of that. My resource this year that I brought in was Bree from our congregation. She's a psychotherapist and has also endured much trauma in her life. And she was able to share just tiny bits of her story, allowing these women to trust and connect right out of the gate. Something she talked about in Mom's Focus was a practice called parts work. Sometimes there are parts of us that we forget, whether by simply forgetting or most likely because of trauma or because of other voices that have told us otherwise. These parts, each with their own unique thoughts, emotions, and behaviors, are viewed as contributing to our overall sense of self and well-being. Our invitation to these women was of encouragement to bring a new part to the table and know that it's possible again, and maybe see that they have actually missed that part of them. Some women had profound moments of remembering past parts and parts they desire in their lives. It was quite beautiful. On the last day, as we reflected on the week, one mom said to me, playfulness. That they want to allow themselves to have fun again and to know what that feels like. Another one said creative, remembering she used to be creative in how she expressed herself and her artistic gifts. Unfortunately, trauma has a way of hijacking us, allowing us to forget parts that contribute to our overall well-being. What a joy it was watching these women express what felt lost and having the courage to bring those parts to the table. The table was set before them. All they needed was space to allow things to happen, even in the presence of their own enemies. At the end of each week, we invite the moms to reflect on their week. mostly because it's good for them to reflect before they leave and to know what they can carry and take home. But we also do it for us to know how effective the program is. And we also invite them to give honest feedback about ways we can change or adapt or things that didn't feel good to them. And we keep these reflections. And what I do, often when we get quite large community grants for this program, and they always like to know the impact of the program. So part of these reflections are also that we can say, these are from them, these are their words, they're not our words. And so I'm going to read you some of the reflections now. Being in a space where you're invited to the table with women who just get it, and despite how different we are, there is a level of understanding that doesn't need to be acknowledged, makes our days together feel safe. We all understand and create space for everyone to show up as we are. I have learned this week to build a village and use the resources in my area. I do not have to do it on my own. I am welcome at the table. I feel loved in this place. I have never been so close to anyone apart from my family in Africa. So being here made me close to another family. The few days spent here have made me reflect on so many things about life, love, peace, planning, setting goals, and actualizing them. Thank you. I get a week where I don't have to worry if myself or my child eats or where the money is coming from. I get a week where I can take a breath and let someone else entertain my child. I get a week where she is included in all activities and never left out. I get a week to connect with other women who understand the same struggles. I get a week where it's okay to release and cry and not feel ashamed for doing so. I get emotional over coming to the table because I have never felt like I belonged anywhere. Thank you. This week has allowed me to intentionally slow down and appreciate my journey and how far I've come. I'm likely my highest critic and have often felt like the best doesn't cut it. Many systems have failed to protect me and my sons. This is one of the few programs where I feel seen and protected. Being welcomed was the start, having space held for anxieties to flee. Freedom to and freedom from. Children safe, loved, seen. A microcosm of a perfect world. Not because everyone became fast friends, nor because everything is easy, but because this place, these people, this program, all invite the pain to be shared, honored, felt, and believed. It's beautiful. As I finish with you today, I gently leave you with a few questions. Ones I have asked the women this past summer, and ones I have asked myself over the years. I believe we can put the questions up as well. The questions are, what does your table look like and who do you hope to create space for? What table do you want a seat at? What am I afraid to bring to the table? What do I, right now, in this season of my life, hope to receive from the table? Just as Psalm 23 shows us, may we all also prepare tables and safe places to land for those around us. I've set a table for you this morning. It is the same place setting kind of that I used with the women this past summer. I spend a day before summer starts at a beach with a list of their names as I stroll the shore and pray over each one. As I wander, I have my eyes open for things to see and take home, rocks, whatever I can find. I took a handful of rocks for them and brought them home. I wrote words on some of them and placed them on plates at the table, as well as blank ones. Throughout the week, they were encouraged to give and receive to the table, to leave a word that they want to release or give to God, or write a word to encourage someone else that might want to take it as a reminder. It was a beautiful give and receive throughout the week. As we got to see that it was a daily part of their week. I would, you know, walking past the plate slowly to see the words, maybe picking one up, or simply just to see what's been added. A lot of them would love coming to the table every morning just to see. I remember a mom after sliding down the giant slip and slide Wednesday afternoon writing joy in like capital letters. The same mom that wanted to be playful. And she left it on the table for someone else because she thought, I've found it this week and I want to give it to someone else. The best. The same day at the beach, as I prayed for these families, words kept weaving in and out of my mind, so I decided to write them down. My initial thought was that it was possibly a poem for these ladies, which felt like a gift to me because I do not write poetry at all. So I thought, oh, this is really fun. Over the next couple weeks, a tune decided to show itself, which made me realize it was in fact a song. These moments are ones that I consider to be sacred. Moments where I can quietly say to God, knowing it was a gift, thank you. I sang these words over the women every morning to start our time together, and by the last day, they could sing it with me to each other around the table. As I sing this over you now, I do invite you to the table. Receive or release, or do both. You may receive by filling a really basic need like hunger. There's blueberry muffins here. There's a bowl at the back with gluten-free options. But if you want to just simply come and fill a need, I would love that. Or I have on the plate, I have words kind of scattered throughout, and a lot of those actually were left from some of the moms from last summer. So receive or leave. I leave it up to you. There's also blank stones as well. If you feel like a word kind of popped into your mind as the questions came up and you want to take it home as a reminder, or if you feel prompted to write a word for someone else and leave it at the table, I leave that with you. I know that this won't be for everyone, and that's okay, so please know that there's no pressure to partake if you'd rather sit and reflect in your seat. It's just a gentle encouragement for those that feel like this is something that would be meaningful to them. As I sing and as you feel comfortable, I invite you all to the table, because we all do have a place there. Let's pray. God, thank you for being a presence of deep love and welcome. Thank you that we always have a place set before us. May we always feel welcome at the table, and may we be a people that welcome all. I pray for new places of welcome for us, that we may learn, listen, grow, experience hope, and laugh. May our eyes always be open to those who need a seat. Continue to help us know more of ourselves and what we can bring to the tables around us. And may we always, always be reminded that at the table, you are there. Amen. I'm going to sing, and I just, as you feel like you want to, please come to the table. Come to the table just as you are. Sometimes it feels hard to, when hope can seem far. You already belong here, breathing that truth. Come to the table, oh, beloved you.
welcome to the table. You belong with us here. Just for a moment, know that rest is near. Oh, the table is long, the table is wide. It welcomes us all, holds truth and provides. Take off your shoes, stay for a while. Table. Oh, come to the table. There is no divide. We all have deep purpose within ourselves to provide. You already belong here, breathing that truth. Oh, come to the table, oh, beloved you. Oh, come to the table.
Take off your shoes, stay for a while. You're
table. You're worthy of love here at the table.
Thank you, Amanda, for encouraging us. We're going to leave this table here. So again, it's a table where you can come and receive, you can come and leave, and we hope you'll come and be at this table. As a reminder, next week we'll have a congregational meeting. If you can let myself or Ruth know if you'll be coming and staying for the lunch so we can prepare for the numbers for lunch and also for childcare, that'd be super helpful for us as we prepare. We invite you as a congregation to be in prayer for the meeting that's coming up, for unity, for a sense of listening well to one another and continuing to follow where God is leading us to go. Let's leave with this benediction. God, you invite us to your table. Throughout this week, may we come often to sit, to sup, to be refreshed, to know that your welcome to us is unending. And God, may we go and create tables, tables of welcome, tables of grace, tables of mercy. God, give us eyes to see those to whom the invitation to come to sit at your table, at our table, would be life-changing. Thank you, God, that you are with us, that you are near us, that you walk with us as individuals, as a congregation. May we go now in your peace, knowing that we are your beloved. Amen. If you'd like prayer this morning, please come forward, and otherwise we have a good snack to enjoy together.